thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I want us to look at a passage of scripture this evening found in the last book of our Bibles, Revelation and chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, we'll read the first 11 verses and then skip to verse 27, the last verse as well. So Revelation 21 and reading verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God, or the dwelling place of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 27, But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, if we were to turn, we'll not, but if we were to turn, we could read in 2 Peter as well, and we would read very similar words in relation to heaven and earth passing away and how that is done. I guess if you were sailing in a ship and you were to see an iceberg, well, you wouldn't have seen the iceberg. All you would have seen would be a minute tip of a massive iceberg that is submerged below the waterline. And so this evening I am very, very conscious and want to draw your attention to it, that really in the scheme of things this evening, we will be just looking at the very tip of the iceberg in this chapter, as it were. But a little, that'll give us a glimpse. What will eternity be like? What will it be like to live with God forever and forever? This chapter of Revelation gives us some insight into this great reality of what it is like to dwell with God forever and forever. And so God gave this vision, of course, to the Apostle John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the sake of the gospel. And John records what he was given. All the bad and the negative things of this world are one day going to be conquered and destroyed. So if you perhaps become perplexed from time to time at what is happening in our world, and there is often much for discussion around the table with regards to all of the iniquity and the lawlessness and the debauchery and the corruption and the death and so on that fills our globe, I want you to, as a believer in Christ, to be encouraged that all of the pollution, all of the impurities, all of the ungodliness, all of the evil, all of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the corruption and death is going to be erased one day. It is going to be done away with. The day is coming when there will be no more corrupt and impure government. There will be no more corrupt religious practice. There will be no more evil leaders. There will be no more painful suffering. There will be no more sin and temptation. This is the glorious message of this revelation given to John by God. God is going to take Satan and all the ungodly and evil of this world, and God is going to have done with it forever and forever. But the righteous will rule and reign with him. The righteous will dwell with their God forever and forever. God is going to make all things new. And when he does, praise God, there will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. There will be no more death. Death is that last enemy that will be destroyed and destroyed forever. Look again at Revelation 21, 1 to 3. I wanted to in the ESV, and I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Notice there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Why do we need a new heaven and a new earth? There are many reasons, and this is where the tip of the iceberg gets seen rather than the entirety itself. But the major, major reason, the one which surmounts all others, is this: because Satan has left a trail of sin and destruction and corruption wherever he has been. And wherever he is, there is destruction, and there is pain, and there is suffering, and there is enticement, and there is all form of sin and corruption that will grieve the hearts of every believer. Wherever Satan goes, he leaves this trail of destruction behind him, and tears and sorrow always follow. We live in a world, friends, of tears and sorrow. Counselors are at their maximum in order to try and assist people who are living in a world stressed by everything that is going on around them. You see, when Lucifer, who became Satan, was in heaven, he rebelled against God and caused one third of the angelic hosts to oppose God and thus fall. We read about that in Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14. When he was cast to the earth, and you remember in Luke 10, 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He saw him fall like lightning. When he was cast to the earth, he continued to rebel against God and caused the majority of the population of planet Earth to consistently rebel against God. And every single one of us may not have had that consistency, but we all were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. Every single one of us had rebellious hearts toward God. There is none good, no, not one. And we read, of course, in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, I could finish there, but I love the next bit. And I'm going to read it too, because I love this bit. But God, who is rich in mercy. We heard about that this morning, Jonathan. God, who is rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Hallelujah. Wonderful that by grace we've been saved through faith. Hallelujah. And so those of us this evening who have come to faith in Christ, we will remember what it was. We remember that we were dug from an awful pit. But praise God, we have been set upon a rock, and our lives are now founded upon Christ. We are rooted and grounded in him. We are the planting of the Lord. We are in a new kingdom. But everything that Satan has come into contact with has been corrupted by sin. And if we are completely honest with ourselves, we would say that every single one of us will still have the temptations of Satan come to our lives. God is going to completely wipe, eradicate from existence the old heaven and the old earth that Satan has corrupted. And the writer to the Hebrews talks about this in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 1, 10 to 12. And you, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth from in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Listen to it. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. I'm glad that I'm anchored in one who is pre-existent before time and will exist in an unending life. And because of that, he has saved me. And the new life that he has given to me is an unending life. Hallelujah. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that after the great white throne judgment, this old existing heaven and earth will become like an old garment that has served its purpose. It will be done away with. After the completion of the great white throne judgment, where every ungodly person who has ever lived will stand before a holy God and will have the judgment meted out to them that they deserve. Friends, I want to tell you, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw, says John, I saw, what a glimpse he was given, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. The earth, the new earth, will be the location of the new Jerusalem that will come down from God. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. There was that scripture we read together in verses 9 through 11. Let me read them again. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me, talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. What are we saying? The new Jerusalem, friends, is going to be the ultimate eternal home of every single child of Christ. Where will God be dwelling during this time? He will be dwelling with mankind. How wonderful. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place or the tabernacle of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." What a prospect! That the God whom we worship, we will be in his wonderful presence one day, not just for a brief period of time, but right through when there is the new heaven and the new earth. Now, maybe the highlight of your life has been that you have got a wee award somewhere along the line and you've gone to meet the Queen. Well, we had friends who had that, and they went to the garden party, and they said to me that the garden, the whole thing was lovely, but then they got these little dainty sandwiches. And after the whole thing was over, they were saying, "Where could we go and get a good feed of fish and chips?" Even in the presence of the Queen, there wasn't that lasting satisfaction. Maybe you have been privileged to meet some great celebrity, some great footballing celebrity, or some great pop star, or someone. But the greatest privilege that ever will be bestowed upon me will be that I will meet and dwell forever with the God who created all things, the creator of the universe, and the one who loved me and gave his only begotten son to die for me on Calvary's cross, to bear my sin that I need bear it no longer. Hallelujah. There is no way anyone can describe what it is going to be like when God literally dwells among us, but we make a little stab at it. God assures us he is going to perfect all things. I want you to be encouraged. Mark was saying earlier, another little, just one more little thing along the road of all of the slippery slope of sin, as Satan take step by step by step by step in our world, destroying or attempting to destroy that which God had made good in the beginning. God assures us he is going to perfect all things. Note that God himself spoke from the throne of heaven, and he declared emphatically, he is going to make all things new. What will it be like for us, friends, who are redeemed? A new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, the scripture says. Praise God, the first heaven, the first earth passed away, and the sea is no more. What does it mean that during this time there'll be no more sea? Well, the sea stands for a number of things. Well, let's do the two major things. The sea stands for turbulent times of your life. We read in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, the verse of Scripture is saying two things. First of all, you're only going to be here for a short while. You see, I remember when I used to run around like Jonathan play football. And I'm 16 now, and those days are gone. The knees have gone. But I can't believe it sometimes how quickly. Life is like a vapor, the scripture says, that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You're only here for a short time. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you can expect to have plenty of trouble while you're here. Now, I'm not saying that to discourage you. But I know in my lifetime, I've had plenty of trouble. Is there anybody who hasn't had any trouble? I'd love to meet you, have a good chat with you. Maybe you can help me out. We see some who try to give the impression that they have the perfect life. Everything's rosy. Don't you believe it? You want to get inside the front door of their house, just a wee camera sometime, that they don't know about it. Everything's not rosy, we know that. They're putting on this false front. And friends, it doesn't do the church any good to put on a false front. In this world, you'll have troubles. Jesus told us that, we'd have troubles. He also told us how to deal with it. That's another subject. That's a series of sermons, how you deal with it. Mind you, the English novelist, I loved this. It was, probably know James Payne. He stated it this way. He said, I never had a piece of toast particularly long and wide, but fell upon the sanded floor and always on the buttered side. And have you ever had one of those days? It just seemed everything would go wrong. If it's going to fall, it'll fall on the jam side, you know? But in spite of the trouble we have in this life, here, friends, here's another reality. We can know the joy of God. We can know the peace of God in our lives. Those of us who know Christ as our personal Savior, there is a peace that the world cannot give us, and the world can never take it away, because it's a peace in the knowledge of sins forgiven. It's a peace that I have a Savior who transcends all, and He is in control, and one day He will come again. He received me unto Himself, and where He is, there shall I be, and forever I am His. And don't worry about how you're going to keep this and keep that. Nobody ever told you could keep it. But what He told you is He will keep you. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, He said. My Father who given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Rejoice in the knowledge of your sins forgiven. Rejoice that you're in His grip and that you're in His hand, and that He will look after you and He will care for you and He will bring you through the toils and the troubles of life, and He will bring you to glory. Hallelujah. Yes. No more sea. But the sea also stands for separation. And there's many a separation, and there's many an untimely separation, or what seems like an untimely separation. But here's the time when death will no longer be in play, and death will no longer separate us from loved ones who have gone on before. We will be united with those who died in Christ, and we will enjoy in the presence of our God fellowship forevermore. Death is finished forever. We will never be separated again from our Savior and our God and our loved ones. We have looked, friends, at where God will be dwelling at this time, what it will be like. But what will it be like in the new heaven and earth? And night, Revelation 22, 5, and night will be no more. There will be no more night. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and forever. There's a number of things, but here's two things that are going to make the new heaven and new earth such a great place to live. Here's my two major things anyway. There's a whole host of them, but here's two major ones. Neither Satan nor Satan's workers will be there to make life miserable or try and impose their evil will. The devil who deceived them, Revelation 20:10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. They're gone from the equation. Nothing unclean will ever enter in. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. Revelation 21:27, we read it, but there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written, and you'll have this in italics, which means the Lamb's Book of Life, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. Satan and his followers are nowhere around in our new heaven and new earth. Hallelujah. Now note that God himself is speaking in this vision to John. Note that again. What he is saying is so important. So important that he must make the declaration himself. It's too important to have an angelic messenger declare this message. Note, God tells us who the citizens of his new heavens and earth will be. But note something else. He also tells us here who they will not be. He warns us that not everyone will enter the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Not everyone will be accepted by him on that day. But he shows us how to make sure that we are acceptable, that we do receive the right to become citizens of the new heavens and the new earth. The citizens of the new heavens and the earth will be those who thirst after him. We read it together. Those who thirst after him. That is, the person who thirsts after life will be the person to receive of the water of life freely. God is going to give life to the person who thirsts for it tonight. Are you thirsty for eternal life? Well, you can have eternal life. It's found in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. Simply stated, to thirst after life means to thirst after the Son of Life and the life of the Son. It means to know God, to fellowship, to commune, to share with God, to know the salvation and the forgiveness and the cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus, to know the hope, to know the assurance, to know the security of God, to live for God, to obey and to follow Him. The person who thirsts after God will be a citizen of the new heaven and the new earth. So the reality is that you will be in one of two places, after you die, either heaven or hell. The reality is this, that we know from Revelation chapter 20 that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. So we know that reality is this, that you will either be in the new heaven and the new earth, or you will be in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. We already read, will be there. So is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you know if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? How could you know that? I want to tell you this very simply. Your name is indelibly printed in the Lamb's Book of Life. The moment you repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, indelibly, forever, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me quote that well-known verse, "For God so loved the world." We begin to see this, the immensity of His love, even in these scriptures that we have read. That God should prepare for us in such a striking and in such an incomparable way, and that God should seek to dwell with us and to be our God and we His people together in eternity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tell me, have you placed your faith in the Christ of the cross? Have you reached the point, as the Evangelical Explosion would put it, have you reached the point in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to be with Him? If you were to die tonight and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? What would you say? I know for many in this house tonight, their glad and joyful response would be, because I have placed my faith in the finished work of the cross. I have trusted on the work that Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. That only way. And don't let the world tell you and point to all of this philosophy and religion and all of the rest of it. All false mirages. Don't follow a mirage. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." One way only that God has provided for you to be saved. Will you trust Him tonight if you have not done so? And for those who have, rejoice, friends, in the knowledge of your sins forgiven and the preparation that God has made for you in eternity to come. And as you do, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice, as Paul writes to the Philippians. Not that you're able to do this or that, as the disciples once came to Jesus, but Jesus said to them, don't rejoice in all of that, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it's not there tonight, friend, don't go away without seeing one of us. Johnny or Mark, self, Roy, a number of people throughout this congregation tonight, only too willing to sit down with you and help you and point you to the only way of salvation, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.